Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the morning sports briefing here on Thursday, the 17th of July. And in the news today, Raiders upset Roosters, Walker Brothers in Warriors' sights. England on top for on day one. The Rugby Championship to be hosted in New Zealand. Huskies upset Ayr, and James Lashesh retires from rowing. So, yes, a packed news update this morning. Let's kick off with that cricket. And before play, Geoffrey Archer was excluded or dropped from the squad for breaking biosecurity protocols. What he did was, on his journey back from Southampton up to Manchester, he took a rather large detour to head over to Brighton, where he popped into his home. And he is now in a eight-day isolation and is going to be tested twice for COVID. In the actual cricket, the West Indies managed to reduce England to 29-42 after 13 overs. But Silby and Stokes dug in there and recovered for England. So they finished on 207-43. So a very good fourth wicket stand there for England, which has put them in control. For the West Indies, Chase got two wickets, but also gave up 53 runs in there. And he was the fifth bowler tried, which the top bowlers struggled a bit there up in Old Trafford. Moving on then to the football news and results from the EPL. Burnley and Wolverhampton fought out a one-all draw. Man City beat Bournemouth 2-1, which means that Bournemouth are most likely going to now get relegated. There's only two games left, and they trail both Watford and West Ham by.
Oh, Tyler.
Points away from other results. Newcastle beat lost Tottenham 1-3 and Arsenal beat Liverpool 2-1. Now Leicester City are beating Sheffield United 2-0 and Everton are losing to Aston Villa 0-1. Aston Villa, if they win that one, suddenly it would only be 1 point away from getting out of the relegation zone. So a big, big result that if Aston Villa. Hand you over to Stephen, he'll take us through our birthdays.
Thank you, Paul. We'll try that again. A former football fern who scored 3 goals on debut, 3 matches for the All Blacks, but no tests. And finally, a former black cap of a Caribbean descent. And that's where we start our birthdays this morning. Andre Adams, born this day, the 17th of July, 1975, in Auckland, is a retired New Zealand cricketer of Caribbean descent. Adams debuted at the highest level for New Zealand in March 2002, but a bout of back injuries on the West Indies tour in 2002. He played in the 2003 World Cup, but soon lost his place again and was resigned to a life in the wilderness until he received a very late call-up to New Zealand's one-day squad in England towards the end of 2004 NatWest Series. He didn't end up playing, but later signed with Essex for the remainder of the summer, where he stayed for the 2005 and a 2006 season. Moving right along, Stephen Surridge, born this day, the 17th of July, 1970, is a former New Zealand rugby union player. A number 8, Surridge represented Auckland and Canterbury at provincial level and the Crusaders in Super Rugby. He was a member of the New Zealand national side, the All Blacks, on the 97 tour of Ireland, Wales and England, playing in 3 matches but no internationals. Finally, Monique Annette van der Elzen, born this day, the 17th of July, 1967, is a former association footballer who represented New Zealand at international level. Van der Elzen scored a hat-trick on her football fern's debut in a 3-0 win over Hawaii on the 12th of December, 1987, and ended up her international career with 20 caps and 11 goals to her credit. Van der Elzen represented New Zealand at the Women's World Cup Finals in China in 1991, playing in all 3 group games. That's our birthdays for this morning. I'll be back shortly with league news, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes, we've transferred over, folks, to mobile data, so hopefully the technical issues are out of the way. Some interesting news then is that the UFC looks like it's coming to New Zealand. The head or the CEO of the UFC mentioned the other day that that he'd noticed that New Zealand had crowds and, hey, you know what, never mind, we might go down there. Well, it seems that plans are much more advanced than he was letting on. Shane Young has announced on LinkedIn that his next fight will be when Israel Adesanya will be headlining the next fight here in Aotearoa in a few months' time. So not only do we know the headline, but we also know that Shane Young will be involved as well. So it sounds like the card, there's at least a draft card and a draft date for when that will happen as well. So yes, it looks like UFC is coming to New Zealand soon. So hopefully, hopefully that will happen. Now, previously, when the UFC has come to New Zealand, they needed 166 people flew in. Now, it's a lot of people to get through quarantine. Obviously, some of the fighters are here already, so not all those would need to fly in. And maybe they could use some local broadcasting skills. So well, interesting to see how that all pans out. Over in the Super Rugby, there's also news there about a tournament here to be held here in New Zealand, with Sanzar saying that the Rugby Championship is scheduled to be in New Zealand starting early November and running into December in a 6-week tournament. The government says they are open this happening, and obviously waiting on all of the details. Sanzar talking with New Zealand Rugby, and New Zealand Rugby are talking with the government. So yes, opportunity there for some Chinese whispers, or some Chinese whispers there. But hopefully, let's hope that all communications are good Announcement says that Sandar would pay for the quarantining of the Australian, South African and Argentinian teams. This happening in November is perhaps not a big surprise when already we know that the Southern Hemisphere teams will not be involved in November internationals in Europe, because they're looking at a 8-team tournament up there, the six teams of Six Nations plus Fiji and Japan taking part in that in November. So a lot of work going on behind the scenes, and slowly but slowly we're going to hear about some of those. There was muted a four match Bledisloe Cup series, and that could still go ahead. Australia still do want to host some games, so that would some of those games could happen potentially in October before that November, before November, the Rugby Championship. Also, in rugby news, we've got the squad to be announced for the Hurricanes versus the Blues game. And Dan Carter was due to make his Blues debut, but unfortunately, a tight calf means that he has been withdrawn from the squad. So we're not going to see Dan Carter this weekend, but we will see Jordy Barrett in the 15 jersey and Bowden Barrett in the 15 jersey for the two different sides up against each other. Jordy was injured for the first game and so didn't get to play against his brother. So, yes, interesting clash there, kicking off on Saturday before we have the Chiefs versus the Highlanders on Sunday in Super Rugby Aotearoa. And I'm going to hand you back now to Stephen, who will take us through our NRL update.
Oh, thanks again, Paul. In league news this morning, an injury hit Canberra Raiders team, taking up the Roosters at the Sydney SCG, Sydney Cricket Stadium. And we'll look at preview today's games. And the Walker brothers are on the Warriors coaching radar, and that's where we start our league news this morning. Ben and Shane Walker are known for their attacking innovations, but their main management and defensive strategies are also why they're in the frame to fill the Warriors coaching vacancy. According to CEO Cameron George, the Walker brothers bring a lot to the table as coaches, and we are leaving no stone unturned, George told NRL.com on Friday night or Thursday evening. They bring a number of attributes to the game that are refreshing, innovative, and certainly could enhance our individual players' talent. After sacking Steve Kearney as the head coach of the Warriors, appointed assistant coach Todd Payton as their interim coach for the rest of 2020. An extensive and thorough search is now underway to lead the club into the next era, and George confirmed he interviewed the Walker brothers this week. Well, we move on to stuff that's happening on the field. The Canberra Raiders have upset the Sydney Roosters 24-20 after the Roosters led 12-6 at halftime in the first game of round 10 played at the Sydney Cricket Ground last night, with the likes of C. Soliola, Corey Horsburgh and Emra Gula all out for the rest of the season. The Raiders middle stocks look to have suffered another significant blow in the opening exchanges when Josh Papali was taken off with an HIA. The Queensland prop was collected around the ear by Jared Warrior Hargraves. Canberra needed have worried, however, because in Papali's absence, his fellow prop Dunamis Louis stepped up. Louis was dropped earlier in the year, but showed his worth to Ricky Stewart's injury-depleted side to crash over from close range for an early Canberra lead. Impressive but unspectacular. Hithrito, the try was the spark of the Roosters' machine needed to click into gear. Within 5 minutes, they marched up the other end and were over for a try themselves. James Tedesco sent a cutout pass the way of Brett Morris on the right wing, who evaded the covering chance Nicole Clockstead to touchdown in the 16th minute. Kyle Flanagan converted and added a penalty a few minutes later to push the Chooks ahead. Morris would add his second for the night 14 minutes after his first, but in between, the Roosters dominated possession with 11 sets to Canberra's 3. The Bondi Club, the beneficiaries of 2 set restarts, 2 dropouts and 2 penalties. The Roosters finished the half 12-6 to the good, but Canberra weren't willing to go down without a fight. Figuratively, after a defty weight, Nicole Clockstead kicked goal was touched down by Jared Croker and literally went a stray elbow from Agnes Crutton hit Papali's temple. A push and shove ensured at the end of the ruck that they came running in from all angles. It was the man in the opposite number seven jersey through who was about to take centre stage. So often we hear that English halfbacks don't make it in the NRL, but George Williams is slowly debunking the myth with 8 Dalian points as many try assists going into this round. Williams jinked his way over through the Roosters' defence to crash over for a second try. The Tricks pegged them back straight away with some quick hands down the left, found Matt Ikuvalu. But as so often happened last year, to see big wins, I think one over the Melbourne and the preliminary final against South, probably came up with the match-winning play to bring home the bacon for the Canberra Raiders. Wow, that sounds like a really good game. I must admit, I didn't stay up to watch it, but I will be staying up to watch maybe a couple of these games this evening, because this evening from Sunshine Coast Stadium in Kawana Waters, it's a great spot, I've got to say, commentated outrigger canoeing up there. The Storm take on the Titans, and that kicks off at 8 p.m. New Zealand time this evening. And the late game from Lockhart Oval in Sydney is the West Tigers v. the Broncos. And if you've got enough energy, maybe I have, that'll be at 9:55 p.m. this morning. So have a great day as we are on the cusp of the weekend here on NZ Sports Radio. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you very much, Stephen. And yes, the weekend is almost here, folks. Let's hope the wet and wild weather eases off a bit as well. Over in the rowing, James Lesheche has announced his retirement from professional rowing. He was part of the men's eight that was aiming to qualify for next year for the Olympic Games, and has decided that, yeah, another year is just 1 year too many for him. Oh dear. Pardon me. New Zealand has qualified 9 boats for Tokyo, with the men's eight and the men's quad still aiming aiming to contest the qualifying event, to also qualify as well. Moving over then to the NZ MBL or Sales MBL, and the Huskies beat the Taranaki Mountain Airs 102-99 to upset the table toppers. But boy, oh boy, it took them all of their effort, because it's was 83-83 at the end of regulation time, and they required overtime, which the where the Airs took the lead, but the Huskies came back to win that one. Say absolute cracking game over there. It was really a team effort by the Huskies, with all of their starters making it over 21 points. But Henry with 21 points and 14 rebounds helped, as did Smith Miller with 22 points and a massive 21 rebounds. So yes, some really good rebounding there by those two. Murray led the scoring with 28 points, and Liefa chipped in with 21 as well. For the Taranaki Mountain Airs, Jones led the way with 36 points, and was assisted by Rokura with 28 points, but they got no more support from the rest of their team, and there weren't enough to see off the more rounded team effort from the Huskies. In the second game, the Canterbury Rams pushed the Otago Nuggets all the way, 74-75. Another cracking game there as well, if somewhat some lower scoring in that one. The Nuggets just snook that one, even though they were out-rebounded by the Canterbury Rams in that one. And how does that leave the table? Well, the Taranaki Mountaineers are still top with a 7-4 record, with the Franklin Bulls, the Otago Nuggets, and the Manawatu Jets all are just behind them on a 6-4, and all with a game in hand. So they all could join the Taranaki Mountaineers at the top there. The Auckland Huskies have closed the gap to that chasing group, and they now have a 50-50 record of 5 wins and 5 losses. for them. And then we have the Giants and the Rams down the bottom, both with 3 wins each. Don't forget to and tonight in the Sales NBL, we they have a night off before returning tomorrow evening over on the ANZ Premiership, and we have a cracking game this evening. If I can find the game, because it's second versus third, the Mystics taking on the Stars this evening over in the ANZ Premiership. I say second versus third in the table, so definitely check in to that one. Have a wonderful day, everybody. You've now started the day the best way, up to speed with all of the important sports news. Sorry about our technical issues at the top of the show, but hey, we've pulled it all together in the end. So have a great day, everyone, and the weekend is almost here.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.